morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret, and we are continuing our verse by verse study through the book of 1 Timothy today. And we resume our study in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We pick it up in verse 6. But first, let's pray. Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. Actually, let's go back and let's begin our reading in verse 5, where the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." The death of Jesus Christ paid our ransom. You say, "I didn't know I was kidnapped." Well, everyone has been kidnapped, spiritually speaking. We were kidnapped by our sin, by the devil, and in essence placed on a conveyor belt to hell. But the death of Jesus Christ paid our ransom, and we can walk free if we receive him as Lord and Savior. Verse 7, "For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ, and not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." If there is only one way to avoid hell, and if that way is Jesus, then that message needs to be proclaimed by those of us who know that it is true. Many things are good. Many things are important. But the cure for hell-bound sinners is more important than anything. And so that message needs to be proclaimed. 8. "Therefore I desire that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." Don't argue. Don't get angry. Pray instead. And if we are full of anger, and if we are the type of person who cannot discuss something without it turning into an argument, then our prayers are not going to be heard. Verse 9, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly clothing." He says that women should dress modestly. Christian women should not dress to draw attention to themselves in public. Look at verse 9 again. "In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." In other words, Christian women should focus their energy on holiness, not getting men to notice their body. Dress as nice as you can, But don't make what you wear the most important thing to you. How women look on the inside to God is much more important than how they look on the outside to other people. 11. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. In other words, a Christian woman should be modest all the way around. And that would include how she acts and how she talks. A humble quietness in a Christian woman, that is a beautiful thing to God. 12. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And that eliminates women pastors, because pastors have spiritual authority over the people in their church. And if a woman must not have authority over a man, well, then she can't be a pastor. Verse 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Adam was formed first, then Eve. Men are to be the leaders in the church because of the order of creation. God made man first. God made man to be the leader, to be in charge. And then again, verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Women should not be leaders in the church because Eve was deceived. Does that mean that all women are more easily deceived than all men? I don't know. But it is one of the reasons that God gives to not have women leaders in the church. You know, I don't know. But I'm not worried about what I don't know when it comes to God. I'm concerned about what I do know, and I do know that women are not to be leaders in the church. 15. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Women are not saved by having babies. Women are saved the way men are saved, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ, which, if it's real, will work itself out in love and holiness. Let's not worry about that childbearing thing. Let's not worry about what that childbearing thing refers to in this verse, since God has not told us. Let's worry about the faith, love, and holiness thing. That's the important thing. Chapter 3. This is a faithful saying. And of course, everything in the Bible is trustworthy. God says it's impossible for him to lie. So this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. Being a bishop or a pastor is a good thing. It is a high calling. But not everyone is spiritually qualified to be one. And here are the qualifications in verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. In other words, to be a pastor, one must be living a good life. He must not be a polygamist. He must have his emotions under control. He must have himself under control. And he must be able to teach. The one skill a pastor must have is the ability to teach the Word of God. All the other qualifications are moral in nature. Verse 3, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. I had a Baptist preacher years ago tell me, now this was several years ago, that the Bible teaches that a man can beat his wife. He can hit his wife. So he said, I couldn't believe it. I should have asked him for that scripture. I think you can find it right next to that scripture that talks about Jack and the Beanstalk. You know, it's not there. What a nut to believe something like that. The Bible says that a pastor must not be violent. I think smacking your wife around, I think that would qualify as being violent. And a pastor cannot be a drunk. And he cannot love money. You know, the Bible says that we cannot serve God and money. And many preachers are selling a watered-down version of the truth because they love big offerings. 4. More qualifications. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. A man cannot be a pastor if his home is a madhouse and his children run wild. 5. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? True, if a person can't handle the little things well, they'll never be able to handle the big things. Verse 6. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. A man needs to be a mature Christian with an experienced walk with the Lord before he can lead others spiritually. If a pastor isn't mature, spiritually speaking, then his position will go to his head. 7. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Non-Christians should see the pastor as being a decent man. 8. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. Deacons assist pastors, so they need the same moral qualifications. Verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Those who want to be in the ministry must live the Bible. Jesus must be their Lord in practice. They must understand the doctrines of the faith and be able to instruct others in those doctrines. 10. But let these also first be proved. Then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. In other words, don't rush into making someone a spiritual leader. They should be observed before they are given the position. 11. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. A bad wife can be the downfall of a good man's ministry. 12. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Those who love God and therefore have a servant's heart in their leadership position will become highly respected by the people that they lead. Verse 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The church is the pillar of truth only to the extent that it teaches the Word of God accurately. Jesus prayed, saying, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. You know, there are a lot of things that we don't know about God, but these we do know. The things mentioned in verse 16, we do know. We do know that God came to earth in a human body. And we do know that the fact that he was God was proven by the works of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. The angels were there when he was born and told the shepherds about it. The angels were there when he was raised from the dead and told his followers about it. And souls from all over the world are being saved by Jesus Christ. And one more thing we know for sure is that Jesus ascended back to heaven, body, soul, and spirit, because many saw that happen. Chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Not just reject the Christian faith. That has always been here. This is talking about abandoning it, having it, and abandoning it. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The devil is a master at making wrong look right and false look true. That's why we must measure all things by the standard of truth, which is the written word of God. Verse 2. speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. When somebody loves something that is untrue to the point where they will even twist the word of God to make it back their false teaching, their conscience is no longer a reliable guide. It has been seared. 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Often, part of the deception of false teachers involves a strict treatment of the body or abstaining from this or that. They sell their claim to be super holy by their rules, which forbid things that the Bible doesn't really forbid. But it appeals to the pride of people. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So, don't ever buy the lie that God forbids certain foods. That was true in Old Testament days, but this verse, along with others, teach that we Christians are free to eat whatever we want. Verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. You know, if God's word doesn't forbid something, then it is not forbidden. Stick to the word of God, you'll be okay. And if you have any questions or comments for me, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau 54402-2211. Or, if you would rather email me, you can do that. I can be emailed at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. Your questions, your comments are always welcome. And I thank you for joining me. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.